Let's begin with a prayer. Divine Mother, Heavenly Father, Friend, Beloved God, Jesus Christ, Babaji Krishna, Lahiri Mahashaya, Swami Sri Yukteswar, and our beloved Guru, Paramahansa Yogananda, saints of all religions, friend and guide Swami Kriyananda, humbly we bow at thy feet. Divine Mother, we will reason, we will, and we will act. But guide thou our reason, will, and activity toward the highest good in all. Om. Peace. Amen. Good morning, friends. A few days ago, I was doing my energization exercises in the morning. And for those of you that don't know, the energization exercises are a series of 32 physical body movements that Paramahansa Yogananda introduced to the yogic path and to our yogic path, which are really about helping the yogi to tune into the subtle currents of energy that are flowing not only through our body, but also throughout the world, every day, constantly surrounding us. And so we tune into them just by a series of, as I said, physical bodily movements and muscle, tensing and relaxing different muscles throughout the body. And so I was in the process of doing this, and I've fallen into a habit of somewhat rushing through my energization practices. They can take anywhere from 10 minutes to 30 minutes, depending on how focused you really want to be as you're doing them. And as I said, I'd fallen into a habit of just really rushing through them in order to sit down and get into my meditation. And on Monday, a few days ago, about 4 days ago, as I was doing these practices in the morning, a little voice in my head just kept saying, relax and feel, relax and feel. Paramahansa Yogananda, when he taught the energization exercises, he tells us to tense with will and relax and feel. So as we're isolating different muscles in the body, say we're isolating our forearm, we're tensing with concentration and will, vibrating, bringing our energy and all of our life force. And then the important part to remember, which I was forgetting as I was rushing through, is the relaxation, feeling that energy withdrawing and redirecting it up into the heart, up through the heart into the spiritual eye, to be magnetized and spiritualized there. This, of course, is the essence of the energization practices. We want to tune into that subtle energy so that we can feel those currents and redirect them up to that magnet of the spiritual eye, our Christ consciousness, our center of spirituality. So as I was doing this, obviously that little voice kept nagging, relax and feel, relax and feel. And so I slowed my practice down. And I found, as I was just explaining, that throughout that process, the more that I could slow down and really concentrate on feeling the energy as I was relaxing the muscles, the different muscles that I was isolating, I was overwhelmed with these feelings of joy, which is open-heartedness. I could feel that energy moving up through the body. I could feel it being magnetized at this point between the eyebrows, spiritualizing it. And before I even sat down to my meditation, I felt like I was floating. It was such a joyous experience to really tune into those energies and invite God into that process, that it wasn't just me exerting my will, using my willpower to move muscles in my body, but that the important part was actually, after exerting that will, slowing down, relaxing and feeling, listening for the divine, attuning to the divine, redirecting that energy up in self-offering to the divine. And that practice of being slow, of relaxing and feeling, really concentrating on Divine Mother throughout the 25 minutes or so that it took me to complete this exercise, as I said, overwhelmed me with joy. I was floating at the end of it. And that got me thinking about the way that we live our lives, those of us that live in, especially those of us that live in urban communities, but really all of us, no matter where we're living, we are habituated into this pattern of doing. The urban world is constantly bringing us out into activity, whether it's raising our children, whether it's navigating our relationship with our significant other, whether it's work, whether it's those cycles of consumerism that we have to go through to purchase the things that we need in order to, you know, eat and take care of ourselves. And just there's this constant cycle of being brought out into the world, and we're constantly in a state of activity. And what I was thinking about as I was doing my energization practices and really zeroing in on that relax and feel portion, really zeroing in on attuning to the divine, is that when we're habituated in this pattern of reacting, we're constantly in the parasympathetic nervous system. We're constantly in that fight or flight mentality, and we're reacting to the world. We're never slowing down to feel what needs to happen next, to invite intuition to guide us, to invite the divine in to experience each of those activities with us. And it's not that what we're doing is negative. I mean, we're going to work, we're raising our children, we're, as I said, navigating with our significant others, relationships. These are all important things for us to be doing. But how much greater can that experience of joy be when we take the moments to slow down, to relax and feel in the midst of our activity, and to invite the divine in? I was thinking about this a few years ago. I had an opportunity to help put on an event at Ananda, and it was one of the biggest events that we'd done in a long time. And I was in charge, one of the areas that I was in charge in of was organizing Seva, so organizing service, and we needed an army of volunteers to help with everything that we were doing. And this event took months and months to plan, and there were a team of us that had been working on it together, and I had focused all of my energy and my attention on creating this beautiful schedule for Seva yogis who were coming in to help in all of these different ways. And everything was balanced perfectly, and it was color-coded, and it was just this beautiful, perfect schedule that I'd created where everybody was getting something that they needed, something that they wanted. And here were 200 plus people that I was organizing to be a part of this process. And I felt, you know, throughout the months that it took to plan this event, we were constantly inviting Divine Mother and Master in to join us in the planning, to be present with us. So it wasn't that I was just walking around exerting my will as I was creating the schedule, but I could feel the ways that my ego was involved in it, that I was trying to do what needed to be done in order to create a schedule. I was trying to do what was efficient. I wasn't always stopping to invite Divine Mother into that process. I was putting names on the spreadsheet, getting them color-coded, doing the things that would help to create this event and make everything run smoothly. And a few days before the event, I had sent out, a few weeks prior, I'd sent out emails to everyone who was on the Seva schedule. I'd given them their schedule. I'd given them detailed instructions of where they needed to be, what they were doing, how long their Seva would take. And I heard back from about half of the people, and silly me, I just went ahead and assumed the other half were great, and they didn't have any complaints or any issues, and so they were ready to charge forward, and we were all going to work together and keep to this schedule in perfect timing. And what I found a few days before the event started, when I was helping to register people, and I would say, now, do you have your Seva schedule? Would you like me to print a copy of it? Seva? I'm not on any Seva. I didn't sign up to do any Seva and go through the whole spiel and say, oh no, we have you here. We need you. You're serving food. You're cleaning the temple, whatever it may be. And about half of the people that had been assigned different Seva slots didn't know they were serving, didn't want to be serving, and were saying that they couldn't do it. So I went back and was definitely in fight or flight mode, and was definitely in flight mode at that moment, thinking, what am I going to do? And I could just feel the energy and the will just draining from me. I couldn't find the right option. I didn't know how to navigate this step. And I was constantly trying to fix it, and my will, I was exerting my will in all of these different ways, just really trying to find the solution. But I was reacting. I wasn't slowing down. I wasn't listening. I wasn't asking Master, what's the solution here? I wasn't asking Yogananda or Divine Mother, what is the solution here? How can you infuse your creativity and your energy into this situation? And of course, luckily, and that, just to finish out and round out that story, I was given, somebody came in with a great inspiration of how to help and how to navigate that process. And it didn't look the way that I wanted it to. I like things to be very clean and neat and organized. And I like things color coded and on a clock. And that is not how the event went. The event was a beautiful, chaotic celebration of people jumping in to help, and me running, running down the line of people after a morning talk and saying, "Hi, are you free? Great, we need you to go serve food." And people just jumping in to help with such joy, with such inspiration, and just serving moment by moment. And what I found throughout that process is what Divine Mother had created, of course, was so much more beautiful than anything I had created with my colors and color coding and my spreadsheets and my timing, because it was built on individual moments of inspiration where I could walk up to someone and say, "Hi, do you want to help me serve? Yes, let me direct me. Where can I go? What can I do?" And those moments were filled with such laughter and such joy, and people just rallying around the spirit of community, rallying around the spirit of being together. And though it may have looked like a mess to my organized mind that wanted things to be neat and clean, the inspiration that flowed and the joy that came from that process of just opening up, relaxing and feeling, allowing Divine Mother to take charge, it created something that was so much more beautiful than anything I could have created by my will alone. And this, of course, is the power of relaxing and feeling. We get caught up. Things, little crises happen in our life, or the to-do list just continues to grow, and we get overwhelmed and stressed, and we forget to stop. We forget to relax and feel. And to come back to that place of really what is practicing the presence of God, really what is asking and inviting Divine Mother in. I can spend all of my energy tensing with willpower, but what does it mean to walk through life like this? What if I were constantly tensing and relaxing? We'd get exhausted, we'd get overwhelmed, we'd get frustrated. The relax and the feel, the redirection, the silence, the quiet, this is the secret of greatness. This is where our power comes from. That ability to remind ourselves, relax and feel. It's such an important process in our spiritual development. It's such an important process in our spiritual growth. To come back to the story of Monday, when I was inspired to relax and feel in the midst of that practice, of course, what I then went on to do was carry that phrase into my day, almost like a mantra. You know, the purpose of a mantra is a spiritualized phrase that's helping us to attune our consciousness to the consciousness of the divine, that's reminding us through repetition that we are one with God. And so while this isn't a Sanskrit mantra, I was using it almost as a mantra in that way. Relax and feel, relax and feel, relax and feel, because it was my reminder to come back to that place and say, what would Divine Mother do in this moment? Have you invited Yogananda in to be a part of this process? Are you attuning yourself to that consciousness? Are you slowing down? Or are you just making decisions throughout the day? So I'd write an email to a student who I'm corresponding with only online, who's struggling with something that he or she's doing. And I'd stop, relax and feel. How do you want to respond to the student? What's the energy you want them to feel? Preparing for a class, relax and feel. Don't just read the words from the chapter. Stop after every sentence. What can you feel? How can you bring that back, that energy back to Divine Mother? How can you redirect that back into your heart? Yogananda tells us that seclusion is the price of greatness. And this is why, as yogis in our on the spiritual path, we take time, we take days or weeks throughout the year, if we can, of seclusion. But that's not always possible in every moment of our lives. But that ability to stop and to pause, to relax and feel, that's an opportunity that we have in every moment. We can always stop and take a breath. We can always stop and feel the energy, close our eyes, focus our magnetism at the point between the eyebrows. No matter what we're doing, we can bring our concentration here. That option is always available to us. We can always relax and feel. And when we do, just as I experienced on Monday morning as I was doing my energization practices, when we take the time to concentrate and to relax and feel, to tense with will, to give all of our energy into whatever activity we're doing, and to relax and allow the grace of Divine Mother to fill that space and do the work for us after we've brought our concentration and our energy, what we find on the other side of that, the end result of that, is joy. It's joy, it's lightheartedness, it's relaxation. These are all such beautiful qualities. Wouldn't we rather walk through the world in a state of joy and freedom and lightheartedness rather than fear, anxiety, reactivity? This is how we move closer and closer to merging our consciousness with the divine. It's all about attunement, practicing the presence of God. On Sunday of this past week, here in Palo Alto, Shanti Rubinstone was giving a Sunday service, and she mentioned a book that most of us have probably read or encountered. It's called Letters of a Modern Mystic by Frank Laubach. And because she had mentioned it, I decided to pick it up this week. It's a very small book. It's a quick read, but full of so much inspiration and joy. And a few days ago, I picked it up and was just reading through the first few letters. And one of the lines that Frank Laubach, he was a minister and a missionary who was sent to, I forget what country, but he was working with people in another country. And he was struggling to connect with them. And what he ultimately realized and what he decided to do was to connect with the divine within, to practice the presence of God within, and to allow that spirit of connecting, of the desire to connect with God, to practice the presence of God, to then fill the space that he was working with as a missionary with the people. And in one of the first few letters that he writes in this book, Letters of a Modern Mystic, he says, "I'm taking deliberate will, enough time from each hour to give deliberately to God." And I was struck by the term deliberate. I'm using my deliberate will to deliberately think of God and bring God into one moment from each hour. And he goes on to say, "I'm feeling him in every moment by an act of will." Willpower brought me right back to energization, to the energization exercises. Tense with will and relax and feel. It is an act of will to invite Divine Mother into every moment of our lives. But when we do that, when we bring our concentration, our energy, when we invite God in, as Frank Laubach is saying, as an act of will, deliberately inviting the Divine Mother in, we're tensing with willpower, we're bringing that divine energy into our lives, uplifting our consciousness, attuning to the divine. And when we relax and feel, there's the peace, there's the joy, there's the divine grace that can flow behind it. We have that opportunity to spiritualize every single moment if we can let go of the need for the way that the circumstances will look on the outside. Just as I said with that story from a few years ago, the Seva schedule looked nothing like I had envisioned it. My will, my energy wanted something that was perfect. And instead, what I got was a mess of inspiration and joy and laughter and creativity, where everybody's energy was attuned with the divine, where everybody's service was an act of divine union, was an act of self-offering. Sure, let me jump in and help you right now. You want some help? Sure. Yeah, you need these boxes picked up? Where can I take them? Rather than saying, "Hi, you were scheduled 4 months ago to pick these boxes up at 4 o'clock and take them to the temple." How much more joyful is that moment to be laughing together in that divine? Relax and feel. Allow the divine to work in our lives. It may not look the way we expect it to, but boy, will it be filled with joy and laughter and attunement. Of course, this is where we're headed. This is what we're looking for in every moment. It's that opportunity to feel God's love, to feel God's presence. You know, it's simply about asking. I was thinking, I grew up Catholic, and I went through in this religion, from the time that you're about 13 until 16, you go through a 3-year period of, you know, training, which is essentially preparing you for your confirmation. And so I was going through that process, and this was in the early 2000s when there was a popular trend with these little silicone arm bands, you know, like Armstrong bands, that just said WWJD, and it stood for What Would Jesus Do? And I remember wearing one because it was trendy. You know, it was what everyone was doing in our youth group program. But I didn't really know why I was wearing it. There wasn't really a reason behind it. I wasn't using it in the way that it was inspired or meant to be used, which is to, again, invite the divine into every moment. What would Jesus do? What would Divine Mother do? What would Master do? What would my teacher do? Always asking ourselves to relax and to feel, to let go of the needs that we have to make things look the way we want them to, and to allow the divine to do the work behind it. What Frank Laubach says at the end of one of these letters, where he talks about inviting God in as an act of will, is he says that the result of that were two things that I wanted, or were my I experienced my two aspirations. The first was to be like Jesus, who was his teacher on his path. And the second was to be like the violin. It's so beautiful. I don't want to mess it up. Let me see if I can find it. The second, to respond to God as a violin responds to the bow of his master. This ability to be, he goes on to say that what he experienced through the practicing the presence of God, through the relax and feel, was that in every waking moment, he felt the surrender, the responsiveness, the obedience, the sensitivity, the pliability, the lost in his love feeling of giving everything to the divine with all of his might. Just stop one and think about some of those words. Surrender to the bow, like a violin, to the bow of its master, bending, creating that beautiful music the way that the Divine Mother asks us to, opening ourselves up to be an instrument. The divine flows through us and uses us as much as we are willing to open our hearts. And if we're constantly doing, if we're constantly in that state of tense with will, we're not able to open our hearts in that state of receptivity going on. Surrender, responsiveness, pliability. I loved that term, pliability, to be malleable, to be flexible, to allow the divine energy and grace to dance through us. This is the power of relax and feel. Paramahansa Yogananda said that silence is the voice of God. He says that space is the body, is God's body, and silence is the voice of God. In every moment, no matter where we are, whether we're able to take a day, a week, a month of seclusion, or whether, like I've done many times as I'm teaching in my classroom, we just turn around to the whiteboard, pick up a pen as if we're going to write something, and just close our eyes and redirect our energy. A few seconds, whatever it is, a few seconds, a few days, a few months, however much we can practice that silence, we can listen to that voice of God, we can invite the divine into those experiences, then we're beginning to open our hearts to that relax and feel. We open our hearts in receptivity to the grace of the divine that's constantly flowing through us. We're responsive. We're in a state of surrender and self-offering. We're in a state of pliability, being molded like the violin. I want to be God's violin. It's so beautiful. I have to keep repeating it perfectly. I want to respond to God as a violin responds to the bow of his master. The way that we do this is to practice, relax, and feel. Listen to God's voice in silence, finding those moments to slow down, to relax the parasympathetic nervous system. If we feel like we're constantly in a state of doing, take a few deep breaths. Listen to the divine. Invite the divine in. Ask for his direction. Ask for her love. And she will guide you to places we never imagined ourselves to go. A few years ago, somebody used an analogy with me that has that struck a chord and that has always stuck. And he said, we are all boats headed home toward the divine. And he said, you can choose to be a motorboat and you can get there, or you can choose to be a sailboat. And when I was thinking about that, and he said, you can choose to be a sailboat and allow the wind of the divine to guide you on your journey home. And I was thinking about that the other day, and what it means to be a motorboat, to exert our will. Of course, we can get there through that process. But how glorious is it to be on the sailboat, to allow the winds to shift, and we don't know where they're going to take us. The wind may stop for a day or two. The wind may drive us north or south when we want to go east or west. but we'll get there. And it will look circuitous. It may not look the way that we expected it or planned it to. But that's the beauty of Divine Mother's grace. That's the opportunity to be pliable, to be malleable, to practice the presence of God and know that in every moment, that wind that is guiding you is filled with love, is filled with compassion, is filled with joy. How much more fun is that adventure than driving home towards God? So let us each be sailboats, listening to the wind, allowing it to direct us, relaxing and feeling, taking those moments of silence. What would Divine Mother do? What would God do? What would Master do? Invite him into every moment.